KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's clear and 40 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny and windy here today with a high of 66. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of KJAN News. The National Weather Service says there is an extreme fire danger today over portions of western and southwest Iowa and southeast Nebraska. The Grassland Fire Danger Index will be in the extreme category this afternoon, and that means that fires can start quickly, spread furiously, and burn intensely. All fires are potentially dangerous, and officials advise outdoor burning should be avoided in areas with extreme fire danger and adjacent areas. Several grass and/or field fires were reported Friday, including a large fire in Pottawatomie County. Two other fires occurred here in Cass County. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman said Friday that County Board of Supervisors Chair Dwayne McFadden has filed nomination papers for re-election. On March the 5th, this past Monday, Sunderman and Sheriff Darby McLaren also filed papers to run for re-election in the June 5th primary. The final date for filing nomination papers is Wednesday, March 28th. The Atlantic Police Department reported two arrests on Friday. 19-year-old Alex Rutledge of Atlantic was arrested for OWI first offense. He was booked into the Cass County Jail. And 29-year-old Robert Tomlinson of Atlantic was cited and released after for driving while suspended. The mayors of Council Bluffs and Cedar Rapids are defending their cities' use of traffic enforcement cameras and welcoming comments from key lawmakers who say efforts to ban the devices seem to have stalled in the legislature. Speaking Friday on the Iowa Public Television program Iowa Press, Council Bluffs Mayor Tom Hannafin and Cedar Rapids Mayor Ron Corbett called the cameras a cheap and effective way to reduce accidents and slow traffic. Corbett says officials aren't trying to gouge anyone but want motorists to follow the law. They welcome comments from House Speaker Craig Paulson, who acknowledged he doesn't have enough votes to ban the cameras. Paulson said that could change. Western Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King and other officials will hold a town hall meeting Monday afternoon in South Sioux City, Nebraska, to discuss last year's flooding on the Missouri River and legislation King has proposed, which affects the Army Corps of Engineers. The meeting, which is open to the public, takes place at 2 p.m. Monday in the Cardinal Room of the Marina Inn Conference Center. Joining King for the meeting is South Sioux City, Nebraska Mayor William McLarty. A bill proposed by King would require the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to increase the amount of storage space in the Missouri River's reservoir system that's dedicated to flood control. If passed and enacted into law, King said the bill would provide protection against future episodes of significant downstream flooding. The flooding in 2011 caused significant damage throughout the Missouri River Basin. The congressman from Kyron said his legislation is intended to prevent a repeat in the future of the widespread and costly destruction that was experienced last year. Iowa Congressman Leonard Boswell was in Atlantic Friday morning, where he held one of several planned listening posts on agriculture. The session took place before a crowd of a little more than a dozen people at the Atlantic Public Library, and while it was designed to gain input as preparations are made to craft the next farm bill, it also covered several issues of concern to area residents, including the inheritance or death tax, affordable health care, and what can be done to stop the partisan bickering in Congress. Boswell said this is a challenging time in the history of this country, and there are a lot of issues that need attention. One of those issues, he says, is the Farm Bill, which will come up for a vote this fall. Boswell said discussion on the bill is one of the few instances where partisan politics were set aside but didn't get to anywhere because the super committee tasked with cutting the budget failed to act.
So now we're back to, well, we're going to get the farm bill. I think we will. We won't know until we see it, or, you know, until it's out there, but I think we will. I understand the senator stepping over in the Senate is ready to start over there. Pretty much what they had put together last December. I talked to Mr. Lucas, chair of the House Ag Committee. And next week they're going to have some field hearings across out the country. Then come back and do some there in the chamber. And then we'll proceed to develop the farm bill.
Boswell says of concern, though, is a safety net for farmers, which basically comes down now to crop insurance.
Now, if it's going to serve that purpose, it's got to be accessible, affordable, and available, of course. And that's pretty much what I think you're going to see as the safety net. The other program, as far as direct payments, things like that, is probably going to go away.
The cuts, he said, will have reduced the bill by about $23 billion, but before any more cuts are made, agencies other than the USDA will have to make sacrifices before any further action is taken on additional cuts to the bill. The inheritance or death tax, as it's sometimes called, cuts that were set in place during the first Bush administration are set to expire at the end of this year, and that was a hot topic at the meeting yesterday. One of those in attendance proposed eliminating it entirely on land if the land will be used for the same purpose the person who passed away used it for.
If the new person who inherits that land decides to change it to houses or light industrial or something, then they'll pay the tax that would be owed on it at that time because they've changed the use of the land. Why not let the farmers and their sons and their grandsons or daughters or whatever inherit that land without an inheritance tax as long as they keep using it for the original purpose it was for?
That same thing that person said could apply to small family-owned businesses. Boswell said it was an interesting idea, but he didn't say whether he would mention it when Congress acts on the Obama administration's 2013 budget, which by some accounts calls for $2 trillion in new taxes and fees. Boswell said he hopes Congress can work together to compromise on the budget and other matters. He said work on the farm bill has been very bipartisan up to this point, but he blamed former House Speaker Newt Gingrich's 1994 Republican Contract with America for much of the partisan bickering that has occurred over the years and divided the country.
The American way, if you will, is to, you know, is to have to voice your opinion and your differences and, you know, thrash it out and then to take a vote, and when it's done, why, then you go on. And that seems to be some change there. And it, to me, it started as I observed that kind of hardcore leadership. I think we can get it back. I think we need it back. There's a lot of us that want it back. And there's some that don't seem to care too much.
Taking a look now at the funeral announcements on KJAN, Mervyn W. Christensen, age 79 of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Mervyn Christensen will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Orville Clayton Young, age 88 of Hancock, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Orville Young will be today at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Milton Sinow, age 81 of Aspenwall, died Tuesday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Services for Milton Sinow will be today at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Pauline Eunice Hogsett, age 91 of Oakland, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Pauline Hogsett will be today at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland is in charge of arrangements. Mabel Richter, age 96 of Anita and formerly of Adair, died Thursday at the Colonial Manor in Anita. Funeral services for Mabel Richter will be today at 1 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Marjorie Keister, age 85 of Panora and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Marjorie Keister will be on Monday at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Doris Fett, age 85 of Panora and formerly of Adair, died Wednesday. Services for Doris Fett will be on Monday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair is in charge of arrangements. Patricia J. Van Cleve, age 83 of Waukegan, Illinois, died Tuesday. At the funeral services for Patricia Van Cleve will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Merle Fett, age 80 of Adair, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Merle Fett will be Monday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair is in charge of arrangements. Helen Bull, age 85 of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Helen Bull will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Ascension Lutheran Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Dean Belknap, age 72 of Oakland, died Thursday. Funeral services for Dean Belknap will be on Monday at 1 o'clock at the Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland. Adele Leist, age 88 of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Services for Adele Leist will be on Monday at 1:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ronald Stitt, age 76 of Panora and formerly of Des Moines, died Wednesday. Graveside services for Ronald Stitt will be held Monday at 2 o'clock at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Roll Van Meter. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Betty Sanny, age 93 of Lewis, died Thursday. Funeral services for Betty Sanny will be Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Ann Hopkins, age 73 of Panora, died March the 6th. Funeral services for Mary Ann Hopkins will be Tuesday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Violet Norwood, age 73, of Erling, died Wednesday. A memorial service for Violet Norwood will be Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Rabina Nora Elmquist, age 91, of Exira, died Thursday. Celebration of life services for Rabina Elmquist will be held at a later date. The Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. And Virginia Parsons Almond of South El Monte, California, and formerly of Lewis, died Wednesday. Services for Virginia Almond are pending at this time. And that is a check of the news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.